It happens all the time, actually, doesn't it? But what's happening here is that Paul is saying, I want you to see for just a moment that I was under such a situation. So let's go back to one of these verses as we look at this. Let's go back to verse 8. We do not want you to be ignorant. We do not want you to be ignorant. I would never want you to think for one single moment that anybody that stands in a position like this, whether it be on television, whether it be in a large church in an urban setting, they're human beings. They are human. And Paul, one of the things he's saying here is, we don't want you to be ignorant of the affliction we experienced in Asia. Here's the beautiful thing. Here's how a prayer request is given. What was the affliction in Asia? He didn't say. Daggone it. How can we pray without details? We got to know the nitty gritty. Who did what to who and what and long and what? Don't leave me hanging, Paul. What happened in Asia? All we know is that they were so utterly burdened beyond their strength that we despaired of life itself. Some translations say that we were under so much pressure we prayed for death. What? Can you imagine if I opened up one of my messages and I said, you know, this past week has been so tough. It's been very, very hard. And on Thursday, I prayed to die. Okay, Pastor Phil, this is our last Sunday here, and we hope you get that thing figured out real soon. But he was in such a situation. But what he's saying is I don't want you to think that anything is different for me. I wonder if you've ever had an experience where you're like, man, I just wish this day could be gone, erased. I wish this situation could just vanish. And if it can't vanish, I wish that I could vanish. I wish that I didn't have to wake up in the morning and face what's about to happen. Has that ever happened to you? It's tough. And Paul is saying that we were under such pressure that life itself was actually a burden. We couldn't go on. We couldn't handle this situation. And many times in Christian love, people say, oh, God will never give you anything that you can't handle. I disagree with that. There's been things where I have been like, God, I can't take anymore. Now, God knows the crushing point sometimes, and He'll take me there. But I wonder if you were to walk up to Job when you see him in heaven. Go, hey, brother Job, God can't give you anything you can't handle. It's like he would say, you tell me that when you're sitting around a fire with a piece of pottery broken and you're digging at boils in your skin. I couldn't handle that. So it's okay. Sometimes there are things that take us to the breaking point. That happens. Paul got to that point. Can you see that? I'm not reading between the lines. I'm not making stuff up. We do not want you to be ignorant. For the affliction we experienced in Asia, whatever it was so terrible that we began to despise life itself. Isn't that just encouraging? Aren't you just like ready to take on the world? But then in the next verse, let's go to the next one. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. God hated us. I added that in. Right? This thing, God must want me to die. When I was reading this scripture, I couldn't stop but thinking of Job. I couldn't stop. It just kept on coming over and over again. If you don't know the story of Job, There's an entire book in the Bible that's dedicated to the story of a man that was, many would say, victim. I don't use that terminology with him because he wasn't a victim. But he was someone who loved God to the point to where Satan wanted to test the level of love that he had for God. There's an entire book in the Old Testament called Job. That's what I keep referring to. But what happened with Job is this situation kept on coming up and piling up and piling up on him. And eventually he began to say, God, obviously I don't know what's going on. Could you just take my life? And sometimes in Christianity, when somebody gets to that point, we're like, you're hopeless. You're lost. I can't believe you just thought that, said that, did that. God doesn't appreciate that very much. And I want you to step into a room with me where Paul is saying, we were in such a situation that we despaired life itself. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise my hand for you. I've been there. I have. I've been in that situation. I've been in that situation. I've gone, man, God, I can't take any more of this. This can't be. And I've gone to the point of even saying, man, I must be out of the will of God. This can't be right. Something must have to change. So I gotta get this thing figured out. This morning, what I'm pointing out to you, just in this simple first couple of verses of what Paul is saying, is that there was a big problem. It grieved them so much. They were under such pressure that life itself began to be, I can't go on. I can't take this anymore. They also believed that they had received a sentence of death. This is implied that God, that it was coming from God, because in their eyes, who would offer a sentence of death? They knew that they were in the hands of God. So in that one sentence, it's actually implied. But then the revelation comes. I want you to say revelation. Ready? Revelation. But that was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. But that was not to make us rely on ourselves, but to rely on God who raises the dead. I love this phrase because it follows immediately after I hated life. He was in a moment where he was spiritually dead. And there are spiritual implications as well as physical implications with that sentence. Because now I have gotten to a point in my life where I am hating life, but I have to remember I serve a God who raises people back to life. Come on. So what I love about this is that Paul does not stay there. See, I think what happens is that we can get to a point in our relationship with God where it's like, oh, all is despair, all is awful, all things are falling apart, and there's partial truth to that. There is painful situations that if you haven't gone through it, buckle up for safety, man, it's coming. Be encouraged. If you haven't had a moment like this, it's on its way. But then in that moment, we don't look at it and go, yep, it's over. Paul, I like how the verse isn't even broken up. This is all verse 9. This is all verse 9. We thought we had received a death sentence, and the implication is that it's coming from God. But then he stops himself and he says, but wait a second. I'm in the hand of God, and God is not the one who gives death sentences. God is the one who gives life sentences. God is the one who gives life. Where I thought death was, where I thought death was going to overtake me, it wasn't the moment of death that God was bringing me to. It was the moment of realization that it's not about me anyway. I've been at the moment of death before. And said, you know what? I don't want to stay here any longer. And I don't mean like here. I mean like in this moment. I don't want to stay in this moment any longer. Because I don't serve a God that gives death sentences. Oh yeah, I serve a God who raises people back to life. Raises people back to life. Spiritually and physically. That we would be able to look at us into any situation that we're in and we would say, God, I can feel it. I know that. And here comes the most important phrase of it all. Verse 10. The first two words of this verse, I want us to say them together right now. Are you ready? Verse 10, it starts off this way. He delivered. He delivered. He delivered. He delivered. Have you ever been in a situation where you would say as a testimony, like Barb shared with us this morning, that you would say God had a hand in this? God worked something out. God did a miracle. Something took place. And next thing I knew, situation had turned around. Have you ever been in that situation before? I have. And what Paul is realizing right here is he said, yes, I've been under pressure. I've been to a point where I would feel that I can't handle anymore. I've despaired life itself. But I realize, you know what? God is not the God who gives death sentences. God is the God who gives life sentences. Oh yeah, He delivered. He delivered. If I were going to have any points to this message this morning, which I do, the first point that I would tell you is I would say, I've been here before. I've been here before. Any time that the Israelites were in trouble in the Old Testament, we're going to do a real quick thing here. Any time that the Israelites were in trouble in the Old Testament, the prophet would come out and the prophet would say, oh, don't worry, I'll be okay. In our vernacular. But he wouldn't leave it right there. He wouldn't stop right there. He would remind them of what God had done for them before. Do you know what I'm talking about? Every prophet, there is not a single prophet in the Old Testament that did not remind the Israelites of where they came from and what their God had done for them. They would say, remember, the last time we were in this situation, God delivered us. Are you in a situation where you're under pressure, where life itself seems to be gripping you to the point where you're at your most vulnerable? God delivered you once before. God delivered you once before. I've been here before. I've felt this before. I've been to this breaking point maybe once, maybe twice. Maybe I'm getting a little tired of this breaking point. God delivered. Everybody do it a little exercise with me. Are you ready? Go like this. If you could just now do that, God is still doing a work in your life. God is still at work in your life. If He delivered you once, He'll do it again. But remember the first part. Am I to that breaking point? Are things getting difficult? Yes, they are. But the reality is my God will deliver. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. And He will deliver us. We'll add in what we would in our English translation today. We would say, and He will deliver us again. That's where we would insert that. We would say, He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. He'll do it. He'll do it. On Him, we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. I want you to see that what's happening with Paul is he's not afraid to not only let them see what he's been going through and tell them where he's at. How many preachers have you heard as of late say, I was at the point of just wanting to end everything? I haven't heard that message in a while. It's kind of a scary one because we would implicate suicide or something like that. I don't feel that that's where Paul was going with this, but he was just saying, I hated life. I hated life. I didn't want to get up in the morning and face what I'd had to face. Can you imagine the first 10, 12, 13 years of his salvation, of when he had been saved? Every time he would show up at a church, people go, wait a second, you're Paul. I don't trust you. How would you like that to be the first thing that people said to you every time you walked in? I don't trust you. I don't trust you. How long do you think you could handle that? That every meeting that you went to a meeting like this, walked into the church, our guest speaker today is Alice Cooper. No, really, it's okay. Actually, I do think Alice Cooper is actually a Christian. But anyway, that's a sermon for another day. But can you imagine the reality of the stress that would be involved in that? Here comes Paul. You know what? I just don't feel like God wants me to go to church today and listen to Paul because he's had so many issues, so many problems. But Paul says, He delivered us once before. He's going to deliver us again. Still, we've gotten all the way down into this. What was the problem in Asia? I keep coming back to, don't you want to know? Where is that? Where was the inquirer when you needed them? We have no idea still what went on in Asia. I think we should all take note of that. The last time that you went through a situation, how long into the story were you before you got to the point to where you needed prayer? How many paragraphs had been said about the situation itself before you got to the part about you? Right? Paul doesn't spend any time in the details. He's like, man, we were in a bad situation. I hated life. But then I remembered. What did he remember? Let's go on to verse 11. This is kind of an eye-opener. You also must help us pray. Help us by prayer. So that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. You almost must help us pray. But the thing that's interesting about this last verse that we're looking at this morning is that this is not about Paul. If I were to have a second point, which I do, to share with you this morning, it would be this. It's not about me. The more that I realize that my walk with God has less to do about me and more to do about Him, the more I enjoy my walk with God. Because a lot of times in my walk with God, I want people to be praying for me so that this can happen or that can happen. Maybe I get to the point of prayer. I'm going to keep using first person because I'm sure that some of you may fit into these things. But God, if you would just do this one thing for me right now. If I would just have this one prayer answered. Or here's a good one. You get out of a situation. Here's the prayer that I've heard lots of times in different settings. Is I would just give all the glory to God if I got da 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 da. I was talking with somebody one time, this is a number of years ago, and I was talking to them about the lottery. I don't intrinsically think that lottery is evil. It is a slight waste of money.
if you're habitual in it. I was talking to somebody about the lottery. And the thing that they said to me, is said, if I won, do you know how much money I would be able to give to God? So I paused for a moment. And I said, I have a feeling that the percentages would not change. Do you hear that? I have a feeling that the percentages would not change. Maybe you would be giving more money in essence to God, but would you truly be giving more to God? Do you see that? Let's think of it as the old widow who was coming in, and she was at the altar, and she offered up her mite. This might be a story in the New Testament some of you are familiar with. She offered up what we would consider just a few cents. And then the religious person standing next to her was saying, I am giving so much more, but he wasn't giving everything, she was. Right? So I said, you know, I have a moment, this is where Pastor Phil often loses members in the church. But I said, I have a feeling that whatever percentage you're giving to God right now, the percentage would not change. And the person just kind of sat there for a moment and said, well, I don't know about that. I said, well, when you win the lottery, let me know. Let's find out. It's not about me. If it were about me, then things would be different. It's not about if you win the lottery or not. It's about what God is doing in our life. It's not about what kind of healing does or doesn't come. Do we love healings? Absolutely. Do we believe in healings? Absolutely. But I love the prayer of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to go into that furnace, and even if our God does not deliver us. That's a quote from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A lot of Christians don't like that. Oh, your faith is so little. You know what? If I was walking into a fiery furnace, I would say exactly the same thing. Don't hate God just because I'm about to be a barbecue. God is still God. If you're in a situation that things you feel are kind of not working out the way that you want them to, don't you be the example of, see, this is why we shouldn't follow God. Be the example of, see, we can't do anything but follow God. I can't help but follow God. I can't do anything but follow God. I am breathless without Him. This situation would be 20 times worse without Him. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're about to walk into the fiery furnace. They look at the person that's about to throw them in, and they look at him and they say, our God will deliver us, but even if He doesn't, He is still God. Man, that's a ton of faith right there. I hope that you become a Christian through my death if that's what it takes. Through me coming under the pressure of life, through me being burdened with more than I can bear, through me not being able to stand up under what God is doing in my life, I hope that that leads you to Christ. That's faith. That's faith. In our Christian thinking, we often want to be the testimony, and I do too. I wish that I could just stand before you and say, man, this and that and that, and man, look at this. This is why you need to follow Jesus. But it doesn't always work out that way. So then what do we do? Even if God doesn't answer this the way that I think that He should, He is still God. Paul says, even in this affliction, it's not about me. I want you to pray for me so that other people can see the glory of God. I want you to pray for this ministry, Paul is saying. This ministry where we're traveling around, we're going to these places. I want you to see the hand of God coming from us to other people, because it doesn't matter the affliction I'm in. I'm not even going to tell you about the affliction that I'm in. What I'm going to tell you is that the God that I serve is still God. That's awesome. This morning I would ask you, has life got you under pressure? Do you feel the weight of this world upon you in some way or another? Maybe you've been praying for years for people in your family to give their life to Jesus, and you're like, man, it's just never going to happen. Maybe you've been praying for a loved one to receive a healing. Maybe you've been praying for yourself to somehow be promoted in life and to kind of get out of the gerbil wheel that you're in. Man, I just wish something could change. When I'm in these moments, the two things that I remember is God delivered me. He'll do it again. And it has nothing to do with me. Nothing. But it has everything to do with who I give glory to and who I give the praise to. This morning I would ask you, in your situation, whether it was 50 years ago or 50 minutes ago, are you willing to give God the glory so that someone might be able to see what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ? When I start having that conversation, that's exactly how it goes. That's why the kids are like, "What's going on in the kitchen?" Dad's taking it out on the silverware again. I want you to know that Paul was at this point, and he was still Paul. He was still Saint Paul. I don't know how, what title, Apostle Paul, whatever you're comfortable with. But he was still Paul. He was still doing incredible things, and he was going through this. And I know that God delivered you. He will deliver you. And He wants you to see how much He desires to be a part of your life. And today is that day for you. Today is that day. Today is that day. God delivered you. God delivered you. God delivered you. And He loves you incredibly. God delivered you. I want you to stand to your feet with me this morning. I want you to say this with me as we close. God delivered me. God delivered me. Let's say it one more time. God delivered me. And I want you to know that God will continue to fulfill His promises in His Word. And there is a good chance in a room this size with this many people, there is somebody going through something. And other than me, needed to hear that word today. I have a feeling I'm not alone this morning. I have a feeling that somebody else needed to hear me talk to myself today. And I believe that God delivered me. And I believe that He will deliver me again. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, we're so grateful for Your word.